Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the St. Cloud VA's new director and hear from the Red Wing chapter of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
During the month of February, we celebrate Black History Month. This is a time for us to recognize a rich cultural heritage. There are memorable moments and individuals in Black history, which are also memorable moments in military history. In the late 1800s, the Buffalo Soldiers, an Army cavalry regiment, was known for its courage and discipline as they patrolled the Western Plains and fought in the Spanish-American War. During World War II, the Tuskegee Airmen, a group of African-American aviators, took the fight to the Nazis with an impressive level of success and bravery. Our Minnesota military shares a story with Black history as well. The storied 16th Battalion, a group of patriots who, in defiance of prejudice and an ill-advised policy, volunteered to keep their community safe during the First World War. Led by Captain Clarence Wigington, the 500 members of the 16th Battalion served Minnesota with distinction as the Minnesota Home Guard. It is in this spirit of patriotism, selfless service, and duty that the men and women of the Minnesota National Guard serve today. And it is this spirit that makes your Minnesota National Guard strong and always ready.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Dr. Brent Thielen was appointed as the Healthcare System Director, St. Cloud VA Healthcare System, on September 29th, 2019, and he's here with us in the studio today. Dr. Thielen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sir, I want to thank you for coming down from St. Cloud and spending some time with us today. We want to get into your background a little bit. I understand you spent a few years in the Air Force.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was in the Air Force for 9.5 years. Spent a little bit of time in college and then went into the Air Force as a forward communications equipment specialist and spent 9.5 years and got out just after Desert Shield, Desert Storm in 1992. So,
well, Dr. Thielen, it's always great to have another fellow airman in the studio, so welcome.
Well, thank you.
And I'm looking at your bio, and it looks like you spent a couple of decades going to school.
Yeah, it was late, though. Most of my schooling was done in the last few years while I was in the service. I took advantage of a college that was offered through the military at the end, so I finished my degree in industrial engineering right on the campus there, and then left the VA and left the military and started my outside work in engineering and automotive industry and a variety of different things and process improvement and quality and whatnot. And while I was out there, I finished my master's and my doctorate. And so,
very good, sir. Now, how did you get to the VA system?
Well, it's interesting. So I had my own business and I was doing a lot of work. I was helping hospital systems. I was helping a variety of different companies improve their organizational processes and making sure that they were able to become more efficient and effective. And somebody had sent me an email. Hey, this is a position that was open in the Department of Veterans Affairs. What I recall the most is when I got out in 92, for Desert Shield, Desert Storm veterans, there really wasn't a transition coordinator, so to speak. No one was really there to help us be able to process through what we needed to do, the next steps and whatnot. So when I left the VA, it was more or less, good luck, buddy. not the VA, but when I left the military. Gosh, got the VA in my head.
I had the same thing. When we got back from Vietnam, there wasn't any pomp and circumstance. Out you go and off to be a civilian.
Yes, sir. So when I left the military, I kind of, trial by fire, I learned a lot of different things that, you know, we kind of should have been prepped towards. You know, that's, you know, resume writing. I'd never written a resume before. You know, I went basically straight out of high school into the military. So that was an adventure. Our transition coordinator helped me write a 5-page resume on 100% white cotton paper and with a cover letter. So I distributed that to many, many companies and got no interviews. And so, you know, it's funny what you remember. I actually went to a job fair, an engineering job fair in Southfield, Michigan. That's where I'm originally from, is Michigan. Went to Southfield, Michigan, and they had this engineering job fair. The company's name was RST. I don't even know if they exist today. And her name was Lisa Baker, and she was reviewing my resume, but she also had me fill out this form on, you know, what I could do. And she was matching between the two, and she saw that there's a difference in She approached me and she said, you know, this is what you can do. And I said, yeah. And she said, this is your resume. I said, yeah. She did that three times. And then she eventually said, your resume is horrible. And so she helped me. But the point I was trying to make is that it took a lot of learning to know what I needed to do. And so I every time I've run into a veteran since then, I actually started my business helping veterans do their resumes, how to research companies, how to interview and whatnot. And so when somebody sent me this announcement for a chief of engineering in the VA, I took it. And I'll tell you this, that was, I left the civilian world, so to speak, in 2003. That's when I started with the VA here, 2003. And I made more money then than I do even today. So it's never been about the money. It's always been about helping the veterans. So.
We're speaking with Director Brent Thielen from the St. Cloud VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, when you're telling that story, I was thinking about when I finished college, somebody asked me what I learned, and I told them I learned how much I don't know, and I learned where to learn. So those were great stepping stones for the future. Yes, let's talk about St. Cloud VA. Can you tell us some of the stats? How many veterans do you take care of up there? And where do they come from, all over Minnesota?
Yeah, pretty much central Minnesota. We have a variety of veterans that come in. We have the one of the largest community living centers in the nation, definitely in our Vision 23, which is a large catchment in Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, Minnesota, and in that area. It's Vision 23, the whole catchment area. And then we represent majority of the central Minnesota section, and then Fargo kind of gets that northern edge. But that's our veteran population. We have CBOX in Alexandria, in Montevideo, and in Brainerd. And so,
Yeah, the St. Cloud Medical Center has been serving veterans since 1924 is what this says.
It's amazing. If you've ever been in the facility, there's some hall. Just if you're walking through the hallways, there's pictures all over the place that you'll see from back when they're building it in 1923. It's my favorite section. It shows kind of the progression through the build, starting in 1923 when they're actually put the cornerstone in and they're blessing that whole corner. It was pretty cool.
And we heard some stories about the farm, and they were raising their own vegetables and a lot of things there in the early days.
Yes, sir.
So things have changed quite a bit. Now your capabilities up there are pretty wide.
Yes, sir. We have a variety of offerings. We don't have an emergency department, but we do have an urgent care. We handle urgent care. We have a variety of outpatient services. We do surgical procedures for surgical procedures. We send our veterans down to Minneapolis. We have a great relationship with the Minneapolis VA. And so, specialty services. And again, as I said, we have a community living center. We also have the largest in the nation, and a rehab treatment center for folks. So it's a great place too. So.
And Director, I understand that you do a lot of work up there in the mental health programming and helping veterans with PTSD, substance abuse, mental health conditions, those type of things.
Yes, sir. You know, we do a great job in our mental health world. And I would encourage you, if you know a veteran out there today that may be struggling through something, I would encourage them to, we have hotlines that you could use as our suicide hotline. You can also, if you just notice some changes or, recommend that they come in. And, we have a great behavior health program and PTSD program. And, and the best thing about this is that people, maybe you don't realize, but 35% of our population in the work for the VA are veterans. So there's nothing better than when you're relating to a veteran that's gone through the same thing that you've gone through. So again, I really encourage you to take advantage of those services while you can.
And, sir, I know that from the visits we've had up to St. Cloud VA in the past, a lot of your employees and your volunteers have been there for a long time.
Yes, sir. I am. It's unusual to find somebody that's been there for less than a couple of years. I mean, everybody's been a couple of years. I don't think I've ever run into anybody except for 10 years or greater, it seems like.
A long time
veterans.
And you, just like the Minneapolis VA, you utilize a lot of volunteers to get the work done.
Yes, sir. And I believe that our volunteers are super important to our mission. They provide a service that, It's just, it's amazing what they do for us and how they help, you know, again, because a lot of those folks are also veterans. So again, the connection between the veteran as a veteran, when they walk in the door, directing them and guiding them to where they need to be going, is just, it's just a great system that we have, and we couldn't do it without our veterans.
And I'm sure you're always looking for new volunteers. So for everybody out there listening, if you want to put in some time and help your fellow veterans, just give a call to the St. Cloud VA healthcare system and tell them you want to show up and volunteer for a couple hours or a couple days. Anything works.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. And just let us know. We can always use some help.
Director, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit more with Director Brent Thielen, who is the director of the St. Cloud VA Healthcare System, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today to Dr. Brent Thielen, who was appointed as the Healthcare System Director, St. Cloud VA Healthcare System, on September 29th, 2019. And he's graciously joined us in the studio today so we can talk about St. Cloud VA. And, sir, you've been there for a short time, 4 or 5 months, but I'm sure you've learned an awful lot.
I learned quite a bit. We have a great, like we talked about in the last segment, that, you know, we have a great staff that's been there, very experienced, and been there for quite a while, and definitely caring for the veteran. You know, we are one of the best facilities in the nation as far as our scores with our veterans on trust and our ability to perform the work that they're expecting us to perform. So I know that, you know, many of you listeners probably have heard of the star rating, which has kind of disappeared, which is basically us rating ourselves against ourselves, which isn't the greatest of ideas. We should be rating ourselves against all the other civilian hospitals, and until they figure that kind of thing out, that's going to be the situation. But before that, we were, you know, if you experienced our healthcare services, what we provide, it's amazing what we can do, what we do. And in addition to that, trying to reach our younger veterans through a variety of different means. You know, right now we're really moving forward hard on telemedicine venues and telemental health, telecardiology. As a matter of fact, last Friday, because I do get my care in the VA, I actually had a telecardiology appointment up in St. Cloud where I was talking to the provider down here in the Minneapolis area. So it's amazing what we're doing and what we can do to help our veterans and reach our veterans. Our CBOCs have done a tremendous job of trying to reach out to our veterans. But obviously the best thing is if you know of a veteran that needs help, or anyone that's not getting VA help, to reference them, have them go over to your local VSOs, DAV, American Legions, any place like that that can help them navigate the process, or just have them come into to St. Cloud or into the Minneapolis facilities and ask them to guide them to the VSOs, because many of them have VSOs within the organization, or, you know, county, or some of the state veteran service organizations can also help you as well. So encourage you to use them when you can, because there's a difference between going into the VA and signing up for care versus having them help you be able to get the right kind of care.
And of course, Director, we always tell our listeners to start with their county veteran service officer, because if they've got some type of medical condition related to their time in service, the county veteran service officer can help put in a claim, and then your veteran service organizations can help advocate for you to process that claim. Once that's done, then they can come see you at the St. Cloud VA, and you can take good care of them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And once they're there, you know, I go to the Minneapolis VA. Pretty nice to be able to go online and order your prescriptions, send a note to the doctor. Telemedicine is great stuff once you get used to it. I'm afraid some of our veterans are maybe too old for that, but the younger ones certainly have picked that up pretty quick.
Right. You know, we that's the thing we have. We're trying to, you know, make available all of our healthcare services to any age group, and that's kind of the idea. And so that's what we keep striving for, improvement and becoming more efficient.
We're speaking with Dr. Brent Thielen, who is the director of the St. Cloud VA Healthcare System, on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Director, I understand that you are one of 18 sites in the nation that were selected to become HROs, or High Reliability Organizations. Can you tell us what that means and what that's about?
Yeah, yes, sir. So high reliability has come out of, its primary two focuses are on risk and on patient safety. And so it actually started a number of years ago. It came from some helicopter pilots. Actually, it's where it started, kind of that, because there's always risk and there's always potential patient safety related issues on landing a helicopter in a on a pad in a hospital setting. So it's kind of started there, and this group had said, you know, we're going to create this program, and they called it High Reliability Organization. But so that's kind of the focus is on those things. But in addition to that, as one of these high reliability organizations, we're a pilot site for that. We're building it specifically at St. Cloud is the underlying processes to support what we do. Because, you know, we hear all the time, or perhaps you've heard that you hear, we thought we fixed this and we thought we fixed that, but it wasn't fixed. And oftentimes that has to do with the fact that you didn't build a process that allowed you to fix the issue, address the issue. So it'd be, you know, you've been in a place where they had a fire egress or a fire exit. Now, if an auditor or anyone came in and they saw a cart or anything blocking that door, it's going to be a finding or an issue. And so they write that, you know, write it down, and then that becomes an issue. Now, if your fix action is, I just moved my cart, right? Did you fix anything? And so that therein lies the issue, because every time someone comes in and audits you, the potential still exists that cart could block your fire door, your fire egress. And so what we're doing specifically at the VA in St. Cloud is we're building those underlying processes to, okay, the cart's blocking the egress door. Okay, what do we do with that cart? How do we ensure that it never gets back there again? And so what I call management improvement cycle, the loops back upstream to find out a way to make sure it doesn't happen. So now we put a box on the floor, you know, and tape, and that cart stays within that boxed area. And every day, a couple of times a day, somebody's checking off to make sure that the cart doesn't leave that area. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we need to be addressing.
So these are really safety issues. As I understand it, the VA is the largest integrated healthcare system in the United States, delivering care to more than 9 million veterans. And this journey, part of this HRO, is to make a commitment to veterans to have a good, safe facility.
That's absolutely right. And so when we build the processes the way we will, that we were supposed to be, we become more efficient, more effective, and we reduce the amount of risk that's going on. Variability causes risk. Variability, when you have risk, you have potential safety-related issues. So trying to eliminate and standardize where we can, become more efficient, develop a better quality outcome.
And, sir, I understand the VA's goal with part of this HRO, or High Reliability Organization, is that every patient receives excellent care every time.
That's always our goal.
That's a great goal, sir.
You know, that's always our goal. And in St. Cloud particularly, I think we do a fantastic job on that. I believe that, again, our veterans have said so in multiple surveys and whatnot. So I think we do a great job. I just think that there's ways we can do it better. There's always room for improvement. You know, one of the things that again, I think we give the best care. It's never been about the care that you hear about most complaints about. It's been the access to care. And a lot of that has to do with the process, the processes to get there. And that's really the focus on what we're trying to fix. If we fix those gaps, then we make sure that the care is even better.
And we're really blessed here in Minnesota because the Minneapolis and VA hospitals are among the best in the country.
Yes, sir.
And we hope to keep them there. Director, I want to ask you about the Mission Act. There's been some press on it, and we've heard people talking about it. And I think there's some confusion with the veterans. If you're eligible for care at St. Cloud VA or the Minneapolis VA and you have an emergency, go to the emergency room.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Do not hesitate. Just go to the emergency room for emergency related issues. If you need to go to an urgent care, we actually have a listing of urgent cares that qualify under the Mission Act. And I would just, you know, I don't have the link to it, but there's actually a link to get to what urgent cares are available in your area. So that's something that I would encourage you to connect with the local VA, St. Cloud or Minneapolis, to find out how to get connected to that.
So if you need that emergency care, just on the way in, just tell them I'm a VA patient, but I need help. And don't worry about getting to the nearest VA facility. Get to the doctor as quick as you can.
Yes, sir. For emergency care, when you need it, go.
But for everything else, you can provide at both the Minneapolis and the St. Cloud VA, you can do almost anything to take care of your patients. And,
yes, sir.
And you want them to come in and do that.
Yes, sir.
Unless there's a real problem, and then talk to your doctor and say, doctor, I'm having trouble getting up to St. Cloud. What can I do?
Yes, sir. And specifically, though, in the Mission Act itself, one of the things that I wanted to make sure I was able to share today is that, It allows a veteran to receive care where they're at. But I'll just tell you my story as a veteran that when I was, I came here from Colorado and 47 miles away. But because even though I qualified, I still drove that in for the reasons, because first off, we have the best care. We provide the best care. And secondly, because I want to make sure that continuity of care is there. So I would encourage you that the drive is worth the continuity. The drive is worth the quality.
Very good, sir. We've got just 30 seconds left. One last question.
Yes, sir.
Are you hiring? Do you need doctors and nurses?
Always need doctors and nurses. I would encourage you to go out to usajobs.gov. Just type in St. Cloud or type in Minneapolis, and they'll pull up all the positions. And then under the federal agency, put down VA, and it'll pull up everything that's available in our house.
So for our listeners, if you're looking for a great place to work, St. Cloud VA could be your home. And for the rest of you that want to put in a little time to volunteer, you can always use volunteers too, right, sir?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Thielen, I want to thank you for joining us today in the studio here in Minneapolis on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for your time.
That was Dr. Brent Thielen, the healthcare system director from the St. Cloud VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to visit with the Red Wing chapter of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to hear from the Red Wing chapter of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, or MDVA, we continue to prepare for the upcoming legislative session. Last year's session helped MDVA to reposition itself in order to better serve Minnesota's veterans and their families. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is a unique state agency because of our nonpartisan nature. It is important now, more than ever, to focus on the mission. What we need to do as a department to educate our state leaders. Doing so will allow us to work together to assist Minnesota's heroes. As a country and as a state, we have made certain commitments to our veterans. It's important that we keep good on those promises. Stay up to date on both the federal and state legislative updates during this upcoming session. Please visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Lance Garrick, who is the president of the Hiawatha Family Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program and a veteran of the United States Air Force and the Minnesota Army National Guard. Lance, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
I want to start off by talking about your time in service. You started out right, United States Air Force, for 4 years. Then it looks like you got lost a little bit.
Yeah, I did. I always wanted to join the Army. My dad wouldn't let me. He said he'd disown me if I didn't join the Air Force, so I had to pay my penance.
So what did you do in the Air Force?
I was an auto track radar specialist.
All right, and where did you serve?
Basically on a remote radar site up in northern Michigan, scoring B-52s.
That sounds like a lonely station.
It wasn't bad. It was pretty nice.
Not too bad. And then you didn't get lost. You had an opportunity to go full-time with Minnesota Army National Guard.
I did. I started out part-time and then came on full-time in 1986.
And served how long?
20 years.
And what did you do in the Minnesota Army National Guard?
Well, anything from supply sergeant all the way up to recruiting.
Well, you know, I heard a story that you were a recruiter and that you were responsible for recruiting one young Ben Houtkooper that everybody in Radioland knows as Sergeant Ben.
Sergeant Ben. Yeah, I love that. I did. It was an honor.
Was it a tough sale?
No. No, he was ready. He was ripe for the picking.
Okay, so you're responsible for Sergeant Ben.
I am.
All right, we've established that. So did you enjoy your time in the military?
I loved it, yeah. And this is serving in the Yellow Ribbon is just another way to keep that going, keep connected to my service and to my veterans.
Okay, and you served in the military and got out after 20 years with the Minnesota Army National Guard. I understand you set up a small business.
Yeah, running a little IT business in Red Wing. It's been going for about 20 years now, so.
Well, in the last 20 years, IT's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, sure has. Yeah, well, from the time I started in radar, it was vacuum tubes.
Oh, I remember that. Back when I was in the Air Force in Vietnam.
There you go. Yep.
Our electronic payroll system wasn't very electronic. We got it done nonetheless. So your IT business is going well?
Very well. Yeah, it just goes all by itself now. It's really nice.
What's the name?
Computers on the Go. You're down in Red Wing, Minnesota.
Red Wing, Minnesota. So you had to drive up to the big city today and fight the traffic.
I did. I don't get up here very much.
Well, we're glad you came up here. Now, how long is the it's called the Hiawatha Family Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. How long has that been around?
Actually, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. So we were proclaimed in 2009.
And were you part of that?
Yes, process? Yeah, I was part of getting it up and running, yep.
So you're on the planning committee and spent some time with Annette Kuiper, I would guess.
I did, yeah, absolutely. Know Annette very well.
So she's had the ability to influence you down in Redway.
Yes, absolutely. She's a gem. She's really been a lot of help, and a lot of good things have come from our contacts together.
She's been all over Minnesota setting up the Yellow Ribbon networks and Yellow Ribbon companies, and she's been a busy lady. But tell us about yours down in Red Wing. What kind of things do you do?
Yeah, so we spend a lot of time working with veterans directly, which that's what I like, because it's a direct link to helping veterans in many different situations. We've helped deployed service members, families. As a matter of fact, we've got a snow removal company, and we've got two deployments happening in Red Wing for two guys that are deploying, and we'll take care of their snow removal while they're gone. Their family won't have to worry about that. So that's kind of what we do, those kinds of things.
Well, winter in Minnesota, that's an important thing, isn't
it? Yeah,
that's
a fact.
We're speaking with Lance Garrick, who's retired from the United States Air Force and the Minnesota Army National Guard, and is president of the Red Wing Yellow Ribbon Program on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Lance, do you have an active Yellow Ribbon network of a lot of people?
Yes, yeah, we do. Yeah, we've got a very active group going on right now. So we average probably work with two or three clients a month. Lately, it's been very busy. We've had probably 10 clients in the last month. And it's anything. We had a gentleman who was on his way back, a veteran on his way back from the cities to Winona. Transmission went out on his car in Red Wing. So we had set him up with our Uber ride to get him home, and then we're assisting him to get his car repaired. You know, it's little things, it's big things that help veterans get through.
So how do you find the families, the military families that might need help?
That's been a labor of love and endeavor. Basically, we've got connected well in the community now, and the community actually will help assist with that. They'll tell our story to a veteran who needs help, and then we end up with their names.
Now, what we've heard is, and what we know is, military families are proud families, and sometimes they don't want to step up and ask for any help.
And I'd be one of those myself. I totally understand that. And that, generally, when we get a referral, it's not from the veteran directly. It's from somebody who knows the veteran.
And that they're having some kind of issue.
That's correct.
So how do they feel when you knock on the door or give them a call?
Well, you know, knowing the first thing I tell them is I'm a veteran too. And I think that really helps to know that there's a veteran that's going to come to help deal with veteran issues. So there's that camaraderie and that common element. And I think that really helps to break the ice.
You know, anywhere I've gone in the United States, when I meet another veteran, there's immediately a connection. And
you can
and
spot
them to open up and talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if they're wearing a hat like yours,
yeah.
U.S. Army all over it. You forgot your Air Force hat, Lance.
I do have an Air Force hat. I just bought it at the VA last week, so I'm going to be doing that next.
That a boy. Now, tell me, what kind of things do you help your veterans in Red Wing with?
Well, we're right now the big thing is making sure that they're connected to our county VSO, and that they're getting all the things that they deserve and that they've earned, and then we fill in the gaps if it's family needs, if it's things that aren't covered directly by the VA. We'll fill the gap in, and that might be helping out with some rent or a mortgage payment. It might be helping with vehicle repairs. It might be helping with snow removal or lawn care. It might be during a deployment getting family members together. We did that for a unit over in Hammond, Wisconsin, a reserve engineer unit. 15 of their members left. And when their families never got together for a deployment ceremony, so we got them together, served them a meal.
So you mentioned your county VSO, that's your county veteran service officer.
Yes.
And they're trained to know all of the resources available to help veterans and their families.
Absolutely.
You work closely with them?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the call we got on the car that broke down came from our county veteran service officer. He knows he can count on us. We know we can count on him.
So your Red Wing Yellow Ribbon Network is another resource that the County Veteran Service Officer gives out to the military families.
Absolutely.
All right. Then you've got to be ready. Who's answering the phone all the time?
That'd be me.
All right. Well, you got to have a head volunteer. It's the president.
Yes, exactly.
You
right.
Answer the phone.
Yep.
So do you have a network? Can you send out an email and
yes.
A bunch of volunteers pop up?
Yeah. It's not a whole lot of volunteers. It's more connecting with the businesses and resources that we have in our community is very good at supporting veterans in Red Wing. Very good. And so we just got to make phone calls or shoot out emails, and people come out of the woodwork to help.
So you've said that you pay for things like an Uber ride and some other things. Do you do some fundraising?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we do. I've got three sources that are always, as a matter of fact, XL Energy will be going to their gala event in December, and they raise money for us every year. We get money from XL Energy, as an example.
So you've got a small budget to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So when the phone does ring, you either find volunteers or you find a business or a repairman or somebody that'll step up and get it done, and if you have to, you pay for it.
That's correct. That is correct.
Now, I've heard that there's when people deploy, Sergeant Ben was recently on a deployment,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a lot of people deploying over the years. When they're gone, sometimes something just as simple as a volunteer going over to have coffee with the spouse that's home with the family, just so they can talk to another adult. It seems to me that'd be kind of important.
It is very important. That's exactly what we do, too. Or we'll get the spouses together and facilitate a place for them to meet. So we'll get two or three of them together so that they can be together. A lot of times the spouses don't even know. So that there's somebody in the community that has another. We got a Marine wife and an Air Force wife together, as a matter of fact, during a deployment. And they were able to meet and say, oh, now I know where you live. And it's somebody that I can get on the phone with. If I need to talk to somebody, then I can call this person up. So we like to make those connections.
So after 10 years, this is working a little better. People know about the Yellow Ribbon program, and that you're there and you're willing to help.
It's taken 10 years of persistent work to make it happen, but finally that's where we're at.
Well, great work, Lance. We have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the remains of a Korean War soldier from Minnesota that was identified and returned and repatriated here in Red Wing. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Lance Garrick, who is the president of the Hiawatha Family Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program down in Red Wing. And we've established the fact that he started off as a proud member of the United States Air Force, then lost his way and went over to the Minnesota Army National Guard. And I tease you about that. I want to be clear. You took a full-time position over there and you had a great career. And one of the things that you're responsible for was recruiting Sergeant Ben.
Yes.
Who is our head producer for Minnesota Military Radio. And he's been working with me for over 9 years. And I want you to know he does a fabulous job. So thanks for bringing him in the military. And he's one of our team and responsible for putting the show on the air. So you can add that to, you're either responsible for him or you can take credit for
him.
We'll
see how it ends up, right?
Now, we also have the Minnesota Patriot Guard on the show on a regular basis every 4 weeks or so.
Awesome.
And they'll be on next week. And one of the things that they do is they go to funerals for our service members or veterans that die. And one of the things that they hold near and dear to their heart is when we repatriate a service member from a prior war after their remains have been identified, that's a big event, and they like to go to those. And you had an opportunity here recently. The remains of a Korean War soldier from Minnesota was identified. Funeral was held in Red Wing. Can you tell us about that and tell us about who he was?
It's interesting. We put together our annual veterans event that is held at the Red Wing High School, and just by happenstance, we figured out through an article in the paper that this was coming up. Otherwise, I don't think anybody would have did anything, and it would have just went, you know, what the day would have went by and no one would have known about it. So we decided to make a big event out of it. My wife and I got together with family members, a niece and a nephew that are left. He does have a sister that's 94 that's down in Arkansas. She couldn't come. And so we got together and found out about the family and did all the research to figure out where he was as a Red Wing resident and where he ended up in Honolulu, Hawaii, and how his remains were identified.
Lance, I want to read a little article about him. His name was Sonny Johnson, and he was captured by the Chinese Communist forces on November 28, 1950, near Unsan, North Korea, and was held at a POW Camp 5 at Yangtang, North Korea, where he died of malnutrition on July 31, 1951. He was buried near the camp, but his remains were not identified among those returned to U.S. custody after the ceasefire. In 1954, during Operation Glory, the North Korean government turned over to the United Nations Command a set of remains designated as unknowns that were originally recovered from Yangtang's POW Camp No. 5. Central Identification Unit analysis in Japan determined the remains still unidentifiable and interred those unknowns at the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific in Honolulu, Hawaii. But recently they were able to, they've been going back, checking through some of those unknowns, and today they have the technology to identify them, and they did so.
Yeah, the family, sister and niece and nephew both gave, or all three gave DNA in 1996. So that was added to the DNA database. So how this worked, it wasn't this family that asked to have these remains disinterred. It was actually another family or another service member, Sergeant Gilbertson. His family wanted to have a last look at this set of remains because they thought it was his son. And so they, when the remains were disinterred, ran through the database, that's when it matched with the Johnson family in Red Wing, Minnesota.
So we had an opportunity to bring back the remains of a young soldier who died in Korea almost 70 years ago.
Yeah. He enlisted in January of 1950. Think about this. He enlisted in 1950 in January, and by November of 1950, he was missing in action and a prisoner of war.
And shortly after that, died from malnutrition.
That's correct, in early 1951.
Well, Lance, tell me about what happened down in Red Wing. You got the school involved in some of those school
children? Yeah, we did. We put on a program, and what we did is we told a story about what it was like in Korea and what happened to him so that all the kids could hear the story.
Was it profound? Did they understand that here was a young man from the area that went off to war and never came home?
Several vets came up to us afterwards and said they couldn't believe how respectful the kids were. They sat there and listened. You could hear a pin drop the whole time that we told that story. So I think it really had a big impact on the kids of Red Wing that day.
And when he was buried down in Red Wing, did he have a good turnout? Did the Patriot Guard show up?
Yeah, Patriot Guard was there. We had basically at his funeral, we had a final salute, and between two service organizations and several other vets, we had 32 guys stand up to give Goodman his final salute.
Well, Lance, you had to feel really good about that day to recognize and honor a veteran from the Korean War.
That was a true honor, and he got the honor he deserved from the community. It was great.
And your Red Wing Yellow Ribbon Network was a key part to putting that all together.
That's correct. That is correct.
Well, Lance, looks like you're doing some fantastic work down in Red Wing. You did a pretty good job of recruiting Sergeant Ben so he could help us with the radio show, and we're thrilled that you took some time to join us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate the chance to come up and tell the story.
Thanks for joining us. That was Lance Garrick. He's the president of the Hiawatha Family Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon community down in Red Wing. Joining me now is the Minnesota National Guard's Command Senior Enlisted Leader to the Adjutant General, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Sergeant Major, I heard your interview last week with Doug Wortham, the former Command Sergeant Major, and sounds like you came from a long way away and a little better weather, but here you are back in Minnesota, and a lot of work to do. How are our soldiers? Have you met a few of them already?
I have, and it's nice that even when you're away for a few years, when you come back, there's a lot of familiar faces still in the formation. And, you know, we're working hard. There's a lot on the plate for the upcoming year, but, you know, the soldiers and hopefully the families are ready to, you know, get after it and accomplish it.
And Sergeant Major, in this position, you get to work with not only the Minnesota Army National Guard, but the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Yeah, that's correct. And actually, this last weekend, we were up at Camp Ripley and held the Joint Senior Enlisted Leader Conference, which is both Army and Air. And it's a pretty much for all E8s and E9s, they're senior enlisted in the state that come together, and was a great event. We had the Adjutant General come up and speak, and then we also had a guest speaker that talked about trust. Her name was Michelle Backus. She's also the chaplain for the Minnesota Lynx and works for a company called Trust Edge, but put on a real good program for our senior enlisted. And then on a national level, we had Command Chief Master Sergeant Anderson from the Air National Guard come in. So we tried to make it, you know, green and blue. So hopefully it turned out purple. But he did a fantastic job. He's been, the Command Chief now for going on almost 4 years. So he'll be, moving on from that position soon. But he came in and, you know, spoke about what's going on in the national and international stage. And then finally, we also on the same day had a panel of retired senior enlisted leaders that essentially we had the opportunity to ask questions from the audience regarding their time in service and, you know, I guess trying to get pointers or a little bit of knowledge out of them. So overall, it went very well.
Sergeant Major, sounds like a great group, and probably got to meet a lot of folks and set the stage for 2020.
Absolutely. You know, it's just a great event. Again, like I said, we get to get together. It's hard enough a lot of time with our major subordinate commands where they get time to spend with each other, but then to bridge the gap and go over to the Army of the Air side is even more difficult sometimes. So yeah, it was a great weekend. A lot of new friendships were made, or contacts. So hopefully it'll kind of pay dividends in the future.
Sergeant Major, we just got a little over a minute left, but I understand there's a new physical training regiment and a new weapons qualifying coming up. Are your soldiers and airmen nervous about those changes?
Good question, Tom. I would say that there's some apprehension regarding the new Army Combat Fitness Test. It's still in its initial phase, so the military, the Army, still working out, I guess, what the end state of it exactly will be. But we're going from theoretically 3 events, which is the current Army Physical Fitness Test, to 6 events, and there is, like I said, there's some apprehension because it's the unknown. But I don't think that it should be a problem once we get the soldiers, exposed to it, and they get the opportunity to actually utilize the equipment and go through it. It's comparable to essentially if you're familiar with a CrossFit workout of the day. It's something similar to that, where they'll move through a lane and do various exercises, and then at the end have to do a 2-mile run.
Well, Sergeant Major, I'm sure as soon as they get used to it, they'll be able to handle that quite easily.
Oh, well, I hope so. Yeah, the whole idea is we're using science essentially now to be predictive as far as what muscle movements and exercises replicate combat. So that's kind of the idea behind the Army Combat Fitness Test.
Very good, sir. We're about out of time. Look forward to talking to you every few weeks to get updates on how everything's going, and all the best to you, Sergeant Major.
You bet. Appreciate the time, Tom.
That was Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, who is the Command Senior Enlisted Leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran and would like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Brent Thalen, St. Cloud VA, Lance Garrick, Command Sergeant Major Brent Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about Stillwater's contribution to the military and get an update from our County Veteran Service Officer. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.